Thank you and good afternoon. Welcome to the House Labor and Commerce Committee for Wednesday, February 15th. Mm-hmm. It is now 3:18 p.m., and we are calling the meeting to order. We are going to hear one bill today. That one bill is House Bill 110, Massage Therapy Licensing Exemptions. We are expecting to present the bill, expecting to hear from the Massage Therapy Board, answer questions from the department, and open public testimony. We do not intend to move this bill today. The bill will be open for public testimony, and we will leave it open until the next time we bring the bill before us, and then bring the bill again before the committee at a future meeting. So, actually, I jumped ahead of ourselves. I think I will go through our membership. We've got with us today Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Stutz, Vice Chair Wool, Representative Knopp, Representative Birch, and Representative Josephson, myself, Chair Quito. Today helping us, we have Caitlin Ellis as our recording secretary, and we have Kelsey Goodell as our LIO moderator. And we will go ahead and bring House Bill 110 before us. And if Ms. Kieneman can come to the table and make the initial bill presentation, place your name and affiliation on the record, and begin your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Crystal Kieneman, staff to Representative Quito. The language that you have before us, House Bill 110, was brought to us by the Board of Massage Therapy. They approached us and said, we believe that there are some loopholes that they would like changed and tightened up. They were established back in 2014. They have had subsequent board meetings since then discussing some of this language and the reason for it. House Bill 110 seeks to add language for a few things, and I'd like to run through those just for the public and for the committee so we all understand what this entails. It adds language for the board to adopt regulations governing massage therapy establishments. It increases the number of hours for in-class supervised instruction and clinical work from an approved massage school from 500 hours to 625 hours. It reduces the number of hours of safety education covering bloodborne pathogens from 4 hours to 2 hours. That change is requested because the schools and the education courses for those bloodborne pathogen classes are 2 hours. And so what they've found that they've had to do is double up on that same course in order to meet that requirement. It also allows the board to issue an exemption from the licensing requirements for people who submit an application, pay a registration fee, and submit proof that they meet these certain exemptions, and we'll go through those here momentarily. And those exemptions are valid for 10 years or until the person's scope of practice has changed. Circling back really quick, the reason that there's the increased number in hours, massage therapy schools here in Alaska are all 750 hours or more already, and so it's following more of the national standards for those hours. Again, it's only bringing it up to 625, but the schools here in Alaska are much more than that. The exemptions you can find on essentially Section 3 of the bill is the new section that walks through the language for the exemptions. In current statute 0861-080 has a list of exceptions that are listed in statute. This bill takes those sub 7, 10, 11, and 13 and adds them into a new exemption. And these are the ones that would be now requiring that registration. I noticed a question, so I'm pausing for
Repeat those numbers again, please.
In current statute 0861080, sub 7, 10, 11, and 13.
Questions for Ms. Kinnaman as for going? So Representative Stutes, then Representative Birch.
So those, I want to just make sure I'm clear on the, through the chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to make sure I'm clear on this. So 7, 10, 11, and 13, which are in the current statute as requirements, will be exempted from the new statute.
The Representative Stutes, through the chair, 0861080, current statute, sets out exceptions to this chapter. So those found in 080 are not governed under the massage therapy statutes. In this new section 3 of the bill, they still wouldn't be governed under massage therapy. They would just be required to register with the department to say that they do certain work in order to have a list, but they would not be governed by the board. There wouldn't be any regulations over those. I know one of the groups are the Rolfers or structural integrators. I know we've, at least in our office, we've been contacted by them. They would not be required to meet the licensing requirements of massage therapy. They wouldn't have, the board, to my knowledge and based on this language, wouldn't have oversight of that profession. They would strictly be registering for a nominal fee to have their name, their business, put into a database. The reason for that is working with the Department of Commerce, their investigative team, as well as the FBI. It will help them give teeth and the ability for them to know who's a licensed professional versus an unlicensed person. And there are some concerns with sex trafficking and human trafficking, and that is why they're asking for some of this language to be tightened up.
Vote.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Birch.
Yes, thank you. Do we know how many Rolfers, I guess you will, or however you characterize that particular line of practice, how many are involved through the chair?
Actually, I will answer. Based on the information that we have, there is not a state database that collects information about Rolfing. They are exempt from statutory and oversight, so we don't know how many Rolfers might be available or eligible to register under the updated statute.
And if I might, by way of follow-up, is a driver on this because there's illegal sex trafficking going on as opposed to people out there getting roughed legitimately that haven't paid a fine or a registration fee?
Representative Birch, we do have the board chair online, and I think they will have more explanation for what some of the changes are, but there are a number of changes, and the Rolfing exemption is one of several exemptions or exceptions that were recharacterized or reclassified in the proposed legislation. And so if we maybe perhaps we'll let Ms. Kinnaman finish and then bring the board chair up, and I think some of these questions might be more appropriate for the board chair.
So just to clarify, so Rolfing is going to be incorporated and a permit required, or it is not proposed?
So the way that the bill is structured right now, there are currently, the way the statute is structured right now, there are currently exceptions to practice that include, I think, 13 individual types of descriptions of practice. There are several of those that involve the laying on of hands, applying pressure. Mm-hmm. Those are being removed and put into the exceptions or exemptions, and the exemptions will then required that a practitioner provide a registration that basically says, I practice this type of manipulation and my business exists and here's the address, and that would be the registration. The registration fee might be $5, might be $10. I don't know what it would work out to be. It's going to be basically to help take care of the paperwork for filing those applications and keeping the database. And so those individuals will still not be licensed under Alaska statute. They will just, their businesses would exist in a database that would allow investigators from municipalities or from the FBI to know who has been registered as a legitimate practitioner.
Okay, so the genesis for this then is the massage therapy board has requested you or someone, a sponsor, to widen the net or the description of what is massage to incorporate the Rolfing and other stuff.
Representative Rich, yes, and I do believe, okay. Yes, my name is on the bill.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Knopp. Or actually, Representative Josephson, then Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So for Ms. Kienemann, you said they, last time you spoke, you said they are asking for this. And who's they?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, they being the Board of Massage Therapy. They have, they approached us and had requested changes to their statutes.
So the Board of Massage Therapy said, we want changes to statutes that impact us, and by the way, we want Rolfers to be registered even though we're okay with them being exempted. That's what the Board of Massage Therapy said?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, these changes have been discussed through their public meetings. They determined that this language gave the FBI, as well as our own state investigators, the tools necessary in order for them to do their investigations in a more timely and more succinct fashion.
You follow up?
Yeah, follow up.
I guess what I'm really trying to get into the middle of the onion here and figure out what is the Board of Massage Therapy's motivation? Are they afraid that the sex traffickers are really not them but the Rolfers, and so they're trying to divert attention to the Rolfers? Is this a civic duty? I'm just trying to get truly in real candor to the motivation for wanting to move the Rolfers from an accepted class to an exempted class.
So, Representative Josephson, the board chair is online and will be providing testimony, and I think that question also might be more appropriate for
okay.
the massage therapist board chair.
Thank you.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and sorry to
belabor. I'm sorry, Representative Schnapp.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wolf is special, but I'm going to go with Representative Josephson's line of questioning, gentlemen. So, too many times when people are trying to sell something, they too freely throw out disparaging accusations or they use a phrase that's all about the kids. In this particular case, when the Board of Massage Therapists is recommending and you say that concerns about sex trafficking, prostitution, human trafficking, before we throw them out and disparage a profession, I would hope that the board is providing you evidence of them accusations, not using that. So if we're going to continue down that line, I'm saying this for the folks on the phone, if we're going to continue down that line, I'm going to ask you to present some type of documentation or facts for that. Thank you.
And Representative Knopp, through the chair, if anything that I have said has disparaged that profession in any way, that is not my intention. I want to make sure for the record that that is clear as well, that there are concerns of sex trafficking, and whether they are from these professions or somebody else that lays hands on others, it's a way of having an idea of who is authorized and who is registered with the state to practice something in this scope. So it's more of just I don't want to disparage that profession in any way.
So any other questions for Ms. Keenan, Representative Wohl?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe it'll come out. I guess I understand what the new bill is attempting to do, in that you would register Rolfers, for example, to get an exemption along with others, classification of different types of therapy, touch or non-touch.
Modalities.
Modalities, thank you. So I understand what you could register, be in a database, but not yet be not necessarily be a licensed member of a practicing board profession. What was it prior when a Rolfer got an exemption? I'm using Rolfers as an example. Got an exemption. Did that mean that they were a licensed practitioner but didn't have to do all the additional requirements of 500 hours of study and additional study and so on? Is that correct?
Representative Wohl, through the chair, with the way that current statute is, it's almost like they don't exist in the world of massage therapy. There is no way to know who they are or have any oversight. The way those exemptions are written, or the exceptions in statute, is that those professions don't fall under massage therapy, so therefore there's no oversight at all from any state department or levels.
No follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So how it previously existed, they just got a full exemption. They could hang a sign on the door, Rolfer, done. People come in, hire them, but there's no sort of professional oversight, whereas massage therapy there is. And it sounds like a certain component of this is to combat sex trafficking, there's a statement here that says many establishments that advertise as massage were, in fact, involved in sex trafficking. So, therefore, now anyone that has a sign up that says massage then has to prove they have a license, and they have to be a licensed practitioner.
Correct. Representative Wohl, through the chair, I'm going to be careful of how I say it because it can be confusing. If anybody hangs their sign on the door that says, I'm a massage therapist, they would need to be registered. If they are practicing under the guise of massage therapy, they need to be licensed. If they are not, then if they don't have that licensure, there is provisions in statute for unlicensed activity, thus an investigation could be triggered. For Rolfers who are practicing a different modality than massage, currently they can hang a sign on their door and say, I am a Rolfer, and have their business license, but have no other registration currently. With massage establishments, which is one of the other changes added in this bill, which more goes to the sex trafficking, there was not the ability for the board to adopt regulations governing massage establishments. And so those are more of the industry and the area in which the board is concerned about the sex trafficking and human trafficking.
I think I'm follow-up.
No, I'm good.
But I think what I might add that actually current statute doesn't have any ability to track any activity with Rolfing. So a Rolfer or anybody else under any one of the existing exceptions can practice, and there's no knowledge or oversight, basically, of the Massage Therapy Board. There is an interest in several of the items, four of the specific modalities, to not oversee or track or license, but to provide the ability to register just for knowledge of those activities and addresses.
follow up now?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, through the chair, the new statute would provide. Again, I use Rolfer as an example.
I think it's not specific to Rolfing, and I don't want us to get stuck right. on Rolfing. So,
non-massage modality.
Correct.
Or alternate modality. I just know the word Rolfing, so it's easier. Non-massage modality gets an exemption. They still have to register. Could they practice without the exemption? In other words, they don't join the, they're not a licensed practitioner of massage therapy. They practice another modality. They don't wish to apply for an exemption. They're non-registered. They just have a shingle. Is that...
Representative Wool, I do believe that would be a question for the department for how they would enforce the statute.
Thank you.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, are there any fees being charged to the other modalities?
Representative Stutes, through the chair.
Currently,
no. The only fees that are being established are for those currently listed under the massage therapy.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, follow up.
Thank you. Through the chair. And this would cause fees to the other modalities. Is that correct insofar as their registration?
Representative Stutes, through the chair, there would be nominal registration fees. There would not be the full licensing fees associated with the massage therapists.
And you'll
have follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair. And I'm sorry, is that... indicated in this bill?
Representative Stutes, through the chair, that is, you can find that in section 4 of the bill on page 4, lines 12 and 13. It allows the department to set fees for the application for an exemption and the exemption renewal. So it is separate from the license for massage therapists. It is an additional fee that the department is authorized to establish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would have known that if I would had allowed you to finish your presentation. So forgive me.
Thank you. Representative Birch.
Just, at a time when we're, Mr. Chairman, at a time when we are $3 billion, got a $3 billion spread and a huge deficit, it seems like this is really broadening the reach into an area that we have not been engaged in before. And as I look through the stacks of communication that we've received over all of this, I've gotten through everything, there's a fairly good indication that these operations and the non-massage world has operated fine for a long time without adverse impact. And I guess the concern I have is that do we really need to be pushing out into this? There's not a revenue. I perceive it's not a revenue opportunity since we don't know how many Rolfers or non-modal massage folks are involved, and we only look to raising a nominal amount of revenue there. But I guess I'm very concerned that we're diving into something. We're going to be spending a fair amount of time on this, and I'm not sure it's doing a lot to help us balance.
So, Representative Birch, there is no additional cost to it, and we have not even gotten through the initial presentation of the bill. We have not heard from the massage therapists. I guess I would urge everyone to refrain from judging or making final conclusions on the bill until we've heard information about the bill.
So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kinnaman, do you know whether there is a national organization that collects information on structural integration specialists?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, my understanding is yes, that there is a national organization of Rolfers. I'm sure there will be some Rolfers who will be giving public testimony that can probably speak to that much more eloquent than I.
Okay. Follow up?
Follow up.
Is part of the impetus here that if there's going to be a registry so we can separate the true structural integration specialist from the sort of untrue, the unskilled, the not truly trained person, that we had to have a conduit somewhere, and so we chose Title 861. Is that how this came to be, or why wasn't there a separate bill that said, let's register other laying on hands individuals?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, I know that in the past there has been talk of whether or not that the Rolfers specifically, because I know that they have had talks of creating their own board. I don't know, again, the Rolfers can probably talk to that better. I don't know what happened with those conversations. I also know that in the conversations that established the massage therapy, that it was the discussion of whether to include them or not. I know in quite a few other states, if not most of them, any other modalities are also included within the massage therapy statutes in other states. So it's not uncommon for a person to hold a certificate for both massage therapy and for Rolfing. And so they, since they are similar professions, again, the board chair is online and they can talk about the impetus behind wanting to have it in this language.
Representative Knott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for your indulgence, and I will make this brief and wrap up my questions. So under Section 4, although they're registered but not regulated, would they still be subject to investigations? And I'm going to our boards and investigative costs. So, and I'm not even going to ask you to answer them now, but they're questions, and feel free if you'd like to, but I'm willing to wait, and we could. So that's one, if I just continue here. And then, if they hang their shingle now, so to speak, they are required to have a business license to hang a shingle. And so are they not, in theory, already registered, or could that not be done through the licensing process currently and not have to register them under this application here? And lastly, no, I'm going to leave it at them too. Thank you.
Representative Knopf, through the chair, for your first one regarding the investigations, I would defer to the department as to how they would proceed with that. For your second question regarding the business license, I know that when you apply for a business license, you get to choose which NAICS code that you pick. And so I know with the sorting of those licenses, there may be quite a few who are lost, and the time to sort through those may create a burden. And again, the investigations from Commerce is also online to answer that question, and they'll be able to walk through how they're coming into issues with searching for these people and establishments.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, through the chair. I just wanted to kind of follow through with Representative Josephson's line of discussion. So in the lower 48, we have different modalities that have massage therapy and integrated structural, sorry, I can't remember the rest of it, and then Rolfing. And you're stating then that there are boards or commissions that have them under one distinction, is that correct? And if so, can we get a quick print of that so we can kind of see where in the U.S. that's happening? I just scanning through the paperwork we have here, I mean, we do see there is an institute in Colorado. They do go through it from what I've been able to read, quite a bit of distinct training to be an advanced certified Rolfer or what have you. So I think they put a lot of time and energy into their craft. And anyway, it'd be nice to see how other states are doing it so we can do comparisons here. And then I look forward to hearing from them, too, when they give testimony so we can actively see what separates them or what keeps them together. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Sullivan Leonard, through the chair, I am working on compiling that list, and as soon as I have that final list, I would be more than happy to share that with the committee.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Kuehneman? I would like to bring David Edward Smith forward, chair of the Alaska Board of Massage Therapists. Mr. Edward Smith, can you place your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony?
I am here.
Yes, we can hear you.
Now I'm unmuted. This is David Edward Smith. I am the chair of the Alaska Board of Massage Therapists. And at this time, would you like me to speak specifically to the exemption discussion, or I have an opening statement that is approximately 5 minutes in length?
If you could provide your opening statement, and then we will have an opportunity for members to ask questions.
Okay, very good. So in February of 2015, the Alaska Board of Massage Therapists had their first meeting under the statutory authority of HB 228. The board took seriously the advisement of Director Sarah Chambers to discuss the process of reviewing the statutes and to determine the best way to instill refinement in the new law. That's in our minutes of February 2015. In subsequent meetings, we came to understand that it was necessary to refine HB 328 by addressing massage establishments, licensing exemptions, entry-level education requirements, and inconsistencies with the standards in blood-borne pathogen education. While HB 328 was an important first step, the implementation of the Alaska State Board of Massage Therapists Program has led us to new understandings that will better serve Alaskans. The Board of Massage Therapists is aware of the exploitation of massage therapy profession by illegal practice of human and sex trafficking. This practice is prevalent throughout the United States and is prevalent in the state of Alaska. This problem will continue if our institutions of law enforcement are not permitted the tools that are critical in addressing the issue. State investigations and the FBI in 2015 identified 29 illicit establishments in Anchorage alone, and up to 130 throughout Alaska. Several agencies have communicated their concerns on the issue of human sex trafficking at board meetings. These agencies include the Alaska Department of Wage and Hours, Corporate Business Professional Licensing Investigations, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and the Federation of State Massage Therapy Boards. After research and discussion on the matter, it was determined by the board that in protection of the public, that was necessary to work to provide our law enforcement agencies the tools needed to address this issue. Statutory law to require massage establishment licensing will enable our state and federal investigation agencies to hold the owner of an establishment accountable for the activities. Under the current statute, the investigations are only able to hold massage therapists accountable for criminal activities, which are often the victims in the human sex trafficking. This cycle of human and sex trafficking remains unbroken until the owner is legally accountable for establishment activities. The State of Alaska Board of Massage Therapists has drafted regulations that ensure that there is no impact on licensed massage therapists' own establishment. These owners have been vetted with the successful fingerprinting and background check protocols that are necessary in the massage therapy industry. Owners of massage establishment will be required to maintain a local, state, and federal standards of health and safety as they operate in a manner that ensures public protection. As far as exemptions, with the necessary statutory change to licensing establishments, we look to address exemption loopholes that have been known to be or have the potential of exploitation by illegal practices in the massage industry. After careful consideration of information presented by the massage therapy boards from around the United States through the Federation of Massage Therapy Boards and public testimony, the board determined that a strengthening of existing exemption language was in the interest of public protection. The board determined that two exemptions required a strengthening of language to prevent illegal exploitation of the existing HB 328 language. The current exemption language of reflexology and structural integration by Ida Rolfe allows for any acting practitioner to claim exemption simply by defining themselves as a practitioner that works only the hands and feet or as a structural integrator. It was determined that the conventional term reflexology was not defined and lacked the burden of proof of credentials. Upon further research, the board understood that acting practitioners could avoid licensure with a non-professional public membership to International Association of Structural Integrators. The board understood that it was in the public protection to close such exploitable loopholes. In addition to the strengthening of exemption language, the Alaska Board of Massage Therapists determined that exemptions that involve an act of touch must be registered with the division. Exemption registration provides a statutory resource that allows state and federal investigators the ability to take appropriate action if in the event of suspected illegal activity. And finally, as the board reviewed the statute HB 328, it determined that changes in education requirements are necessary for consistency with the skill components of entry-level education. The board reviewed the entry analysis project study, which is supported by 7 national massage therapy education and credentialing agencies. The study resulted in the recommendation of the minimum number, 624-hour school program, that prepares graduates for safe and competent practice in the field of massage therapy. The Board of Massage Therapists also recognized that the requirement of 4-credit hours in blood-borne pathogen courses for licensure was an unnecessary burden to applicants for licensure. Such classes are unavailable considering 2-credit courses are nationally accepted standards. And on behalf of this board, I would like to take the opportunity to thank the legislators and the Office of the Governor for continued opportunity to serve the people of the state of Alaska as we share our expertise as Alaskans and as massage therapists. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Edward Smith. I do believe we've got some questions for the committee. Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Mr. Edward Smith, I just want to make sure I understand. So the Board of Massage Therapy decided to engage in an effort to review the practices of reflexology and structural integration and include them under this concern about sex trafficking?
No, we were actually looking at the exemptions of number 7, 10, 11, and 13. So we were targeting the exemptions that utilize touch. So they were not singled out. There are 4 exemptions that we would be asking for registration.
Follow up. Mr. Edward Smith, I guess what I'm curious about is I sat in this room when we created your board, and you're a brand new board, and it's great. I mean, everyone starts somewhere, but I'm not sure why the board decided, unless you were concerned that these other trades somehow were coloring in a negative way your reputable practitioners. I don't really understand why you reached outside your field and engaged in a discussion of how to regulate or even register someone else's trader field. I really need to understand that.
Okay, so I believe that there's a disagreement that the Rolfing or the structural integrators are outside of the field of massage therapy. And according to the Federation of State Massage Therapy Boards, there's been a job task analysis of that includes somatic therapists, and which is interchangeable with structural integrators and Rolfing, and essentially the same tasks. But the data confirmed that the body workers, somatic practitioners, perform the tasks nearly identical in frequency as massage therapists. In addition, their view of the importance of these tasks matches that of massage therapists. So essentially, there's been some studies and a lot of discussion on the board of whether or not these are indeed the same tasks as massage therapists.
If I could follow up, I guess, and I don't pretend to know much about Rolfing, for example, Mr. Edward Smith, but my sense is if I went to a Rolfer, I'm going to a professional in the practice of medicine. If I'm going to a masseuse or masseur, I'm going to a different kind of professional in the practice of massage. And maybe I just don't know enough about it, but that's sort of my impression as a layperson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, I had in one of the letters that was written to us, I'm as confused as Representative Johnson on this. It seems like this is the proverbial federal overreach, because in one of the letters, it was indicated that there is such a differential between the Rolfers or the other modalities and the massage therapist that the massage therapist even instituted a lawsuit against someone who was a Rolfer because they were professing that they were a massage therapist. So I guess I'm really confused as to the motivation of this, and to say it seems to me somewhat that using the FBI or the law enforcement seems to be an excuse as to why this overreach is taking place. Maybe I'm not understanding it quite correctly.
Was that a question
for
Mr.
Edward Smith? Yes, it was. I'm sorry, that wasn't very clear in the way of a question. Forgive me. I'm just confused. I'm confused why the Board of Massage feels like they need to control everyone in the playground.
Mr. Edward Smith?
Okay. I disagree that this is an overreach, and by having some very interesting conversation with boards from around the United States, there is concern. We're not specifically with Rolfing, but with all exemptions. The exemptions of reflexology as well are being discussed. For example, in Colorado, they've had 30 cases last year of exploitation of the exemption of reflexology. So we are not looking to control any exemption. We are looking to simply allow the exemption, but tighten the language. Tighten the language so that the exploitable loophole of someone that can just hang a shingle and say, I'm exempt because it says Rolfing, would mean of right now we have 1,000 licensees who necessarily probably wouldn't have to register for a license next year if they all switch their names to structural integrators. Structural integration or structural integration is coursework that is very common in massage therapy schools. And the term structural integrator is not a registered trademark like Rolfing. So essentially it's this. In summary, the Rolfing exemption is a trademark bodywork technique that has made its mission to work its way into exemption language of massage therapy statutes in an effort to distinguish the brand. So based on, and there are 6 states with exemptions of, I think, 46. Yeah. There are 6 states out of 46 states that have Rolfing exemptions. Speaking to these states that have Rolfing exemptions, these Rolfing exemptions were not, they didn't arrive at these conclusions based on the experts in the massage profession. They arrived at the conclusion of exemption based on lobbying efforts by the International Association of Structural Integrators.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up.
I'm sorry, you're not very convincing to me at this point, which doesn't mean I can't be convinced, but what it sounds like you're telling me, and and I don't want to say correct me if I'm wrong, because we're not seeing eye to eye on this, but what it sounds like you're telling me is you want other professions to conform to the same regulations that you have to conform to, and if they don't have the same educational requirements as you have, then they need to get them. And what that's sounding like to me is, well, we want all nurses now to comply with the same regulations that doctors have to comply with, and if you can't do it, well, I guess you better go back to school. At this point, this isn't making sense to me, but like I said, my mind is always open. Thank you.
Well, we've got several on the list. So before we get too much further, we've got quite a few questions for Mr. Edward Smith. I was going to cancel our Friday meeting because we were running short on members, but next week is totally booked, so my inclination at this point is to move public testimony to Friday, and we will have an hour for public testimony on Friday on this bill, but we are going to be adjourning this meeting in 10 minutes in order to set up for our finance subcommittee meeting. So we will not be able to have public testimony. We will get through the questions that members have, and then we'll go ahead and adjourn and then reconvene on Friday for public testimony. So next on my list was Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is it Edward Smith, Mr. Smith? Do I have that correct? Thank you. So in your first statement, through the chair, in your first statement, Mr. Smith, you mentioned there were 29 cases in Anchorage and 130 in Alaska. Do you know, were them, I'm going to say, infractions on licensed facilities? And if they were, do you know what type of facilities that they were?
Okay, am I unmuted?
Yes, there you are. Thank you.
That would be a that question would be best served by our lead investigator, Angela Burt.
And we do have Ms. Burt online for questions, so if we can have Ms. Burt put your name and affiliation on the record, and would you be able to answer Mr. Knopp's question?
Yes, sir. My name is Angela Burt. I'm the chief investigator for the professional licensing portion of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. And I believe your question was where the numbers came from that were cited in the chair's opening statement.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Representative Knopp here. My question was, of the 29 cases he cited in Anchorage and the 130 cases he cited statewide, were them infringements, infractions in licensed facilities? And if so, do you know what type of facilities they were? And I guess where I'm going with the question is, if they were in fact licensed facilities and they were, well, I'll just say hypothetically, massage clinics, my question would be, are the license and regulations in place really working? So.
Thank you, sir. Through the chair, Representative Knopp, the numbers that were cited in the chairman's opening statement were facilities that the Anchorage Police Department or the FBI have identified as potential human trafficking locations. They are not all the subject of investigations. These are not infractions. These are facilities that they are examining for potential for human trafficking, and they are most of them are advertising as massage operations. We currently have no law that would allow us to go in and inspect these facilities because we don't have any facility language in our statutes. What we have is a law that requires individual practitioners to be licensed. But unlike like barbers and hairdressers that have shop owners' licenses and we can go in and look at the facilities, we don't have the ability to hold the owner of the facility accountable. So what the chair was trying to express to you is there's a number of these facilities in the Anchorage Basin and across the state of Alaska that we would like to be able to go in and take a look at. But right now, if we go in and look at it, we're very limited as to what we can look at. And these weren't infractions. These are the facilities that the police departments in these areas have identified as potential human sex trafficking operations that are operating under the guise of massage parlors.
Okay, thank you. Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
So second question. So I think I asked a question earlier. It may be more appropriate for you. So if this bill was to pass and they are registered but not regulated, are they still investigated by you or your department, and are them investigative charges built back to the board, the massage board, the board that regulates?
Through the chair, Representative Knopp, I'd like to be able to answer your question in definitively. Unfortunately, the number of and types of complaints that are made are so vast and varied that I couldn't say for certain whether these accepted areas of practice would fall under the board for investigative costs. If someone came to us and asked us to go look at an operation because they believed that a Rolfer was actually practicing massage therapy, we would have to look at that as potential unlicensed practice, and that cost would be transmuted to the board.
Okay, thank you. And I just have one question for Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, you talk a lot about structural integration, and when I think of structural integration, I guess I think of chiropractors, maybe massage therapists, not necessarily. So I think that's where I differentiate. But, you know, I'm getting old. My body's breaking down, and I've been to a lot of massage therapists over the years. I've also been to numerous Rolfers, and I have never, in my personal experience, ever acknowledged any similarities between the two professions. And so I guess I'm a little confused when you relate the similarities in the two. So help me out there if you could, please.
Okay. As far as similarities in the profession, the similarity lies in the idea that Rolfing is a brand. Rolfing is a... like right here, in 1979, the United States Patent Office granted service mark rights for the word Rolfing to the Rolf Institute Structural Integration, and they're a sole owner of their trademark. So it is a trademark brand of a massage modality, or a modality that utilizes the manipulation of soft tissue. There are many brands out there in the... there are different techniques, such as the Wasloffly techniques. There's active release techniques. There are just various techniques that are brands. What this brand has done is, if you look at their language in their mission statement under their legislative support, the ISA stays on top of their latest efforts in legislation, and we are doing our best to inform and affect the law when possible. Our member surveys have concluded that structural integrators want the profession to be recognized as a distinct form of healthcare. Though this is a difficult time-consuming task, and it goes on to say, AISI works for legislation which will allow structural integrators to maintain their unique place in the healthcare field, practicing free of unnecessary restrictions. So my point to answer your question is, what is the difference between massage therapy and Rolfing? Is massage therapy is a very complex profession with many tiers and levels of competency. I agree that structural integrators have a very high level of standard and competency. The board is just asking that we're strengthening language and asking them to be certified, and to close a loophole that simply allows anyone to claim themselves to be a structural integrator. We recognize that the exemption, they came to us in a board meeting, and in our minutes,
Mr. Smith, you answered my question, sir.
Drew Carlson,
Mr. Smith,
Denali Daniels and Associates joined, notify the board that they're representing Rolfers to support the maintaining of their exemption.
Mr. Edward Smith, Representative Knopp indicated you've answered the question. We are running short on time, and we do have some other questions from other members of the committee. Thank you. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a few questions, some for Mr. Smith, some for Ms. Burt. So before the massage board was created in 2014, I believe,
Correct.
If there was a quote-unquote massage parlor of questionable activity, say in the Anchorage area, and an investigation, I mean, that wouldn't involve the massage board. That would just be a police action. I can assume that's correct. Do I need an answer on that? No. Okay. So, Ms. Burt, is that correct? Were you involved in massage type investigations prior to there being massage board?
Through the chair, no, sir, we were not.
Okay. So then, I'm just trying to follow the lineage, I guess, or the rationale. Follow up, please, Mr. Chair.
I'll follow up.
So then, there was some talk of illicit massage parlors becoming places where sex trafficking happened, and to tighten up the industry and to legitimize those that are practicing legitimate massage, they decided to create a licensing board, and therefore anyone who was to be sort of separate the legitimate practitioners from perhaps the illegitimate ones. So then the now investigation into a illegitimate potentially massage facility, now we call them the massage the board investigator, and now it's under sort of a separate jurisdiction, even though it's the same activity, breaking the same laws. Am I making sense? Can you answer that one for me, please?
Through the chair, yes, sir. I believe I understand your question. There is still a law enforcement component of any of these investigations, but it gives the opportunity for the board to visit these locations and to ask for credentials for massage therapists that are operating in there. And then instead of holding the trafficking victims accountable for unlicensed practice or not being able to close down the shop but simply stop that one person, the state could then close that facility.
Follow up. And that's based on the new statute, correct? Or is that simply because there's a massage board?
No, sir. Based on the new statute.
Okay. So that hasn't been enacted yet. So right now, Lon...
Representative, well, we are at quarter after, and I have two other people that would like to ask questions.
Okay. Last question. I know the answer, but I'm just going to ask it anyways. So massage has been affected by this illegal sex trafficking component, and therefore a board. Well, that was one of the motivations for a board. Has there been a similar type of activity with, say, Rolfing, like a Rolfing parlor or anything like that?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
I'm going to pass, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Birch.
Yeah, I guess to follow up with a question offered by the my friend from Fairbanks, the police action and so forth is happening in massage parlors. It doesn't seem like Rolfing studios have been a source of any illicit activity. So I mean, it strikes me that maybe we're better off leaving this whole matter aside. We did have testimony earlier, Mr. Chairman, that these businesses have to be licensed, so I'm assuming that a Rolfing studio or a massage therapy business are all licensed by the state. So I mean, in that sense, they are a legitimate business. But my question, Mr. Smith, does Rolfing compete with massage therapy? And I don't know if I assume you're a massage therapist or maybe. And I guess my question through the chair would be, do you view them as a competitor? Do they do something similar, or are they kind of two different branches?
I view what we are attempting to do with the language simply as a means of closing a loophole, an exploitable loophole. The language is not being removed. There should be no effect on the Rolfing, on the Rolfers. All that we're asking is to change the language so that any person who has perhaps no background in massage therapy whatsoever, currently in the language, can hang up a sign and say, I am a structural integrator, and then avoid licensure and avoid, in the view of public protection, I believe that we have a duty to provide that oversight to ensure that this isn't happening.
Well, by way of follow-up, they don't really avoid licensing. They do have to be licensed. They have to have a business license. It's just that they don't fall under the purview of the massage board, correct?
Right. But with the business license, but with the certification and ensuring that a Rolfer is certified, that ensures that that person has met the language, ensures the public that this person has met the minimum standards in their profession, and they have graduated from their course, and they are certified. It's okay. Currently the language in HB 2328 does not do that.
Thank you.
Mr.
Edward Smith, thank you. We do have to adjourn our meeting and reset for our next meeting, so we will be continuing this hearing. We will open up public testimony. I was thinking we would cancel our Friday meeting, but since we were not able to get to public testimony, what we will do is have House Bill 110 come before us again Friday, and we will have public testimony on Friday on this bill. Thank you. With that, the House Labor and Commerce Committee meeting is adjourned at 4:20 p.m.